Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Almighty Creator. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can't praise him enough. He's so worthy. He is our Elohim. You're going to hear me call him Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh. He is the Most High, in whom the saints, those who've been called out to live set apart lives, hallelujah, we follow his truth. Those who follow his truth, those who depend on him and trust and believe on him by his grace, hallelujah, through his son. That's how we get to believe in him. We have to believe in his son, Yeshua, hallelujah, Jesus. I'm thanking him. He is the Almighty. I thank him today. I also thank you today who called to tune in on Crown Talk and Drums Radio this early Sunday morning. It's July the 16th. Yes, wow. The beginning of a brand new week. I'm grateful he woke us up. Yes, to see this brand new day. It's just a minute or so after 7 right here where I'm located. But it may be at noon, late in the evening, middle of the day, for someone who's tuning in live, or just listening to the recorded broadcast. It doesn't matter. Either way, I'm just glad you decided to add this time and block it out, this broadcast time into your schedule. I'm grateful. Don't take that for granted. Hallelujah. And I'm excited as the Father sees fit and as I'm led by his holy, we're going to talk about his good news. I love talking about his good news. I love talking about his truth. Yes. And in talking about his truth, we're talking about his son, the savior of the world. Hallelujah. He didn't just die for you and me. He died for this entire world. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. I'm so grateful for that. Hallelujah. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed sent one. And I'm glad he came. Hallelujah. If he had not come, we wouldn't be where we are today. I don't know if anyone's listening in right now who does not know him as their personal savior. Well, I believe after you hear today's message, I believe it's going to put some more food for thought in your mind, and prayerfully your mind and your heart will line up to accept him as your personal savior. That's what he is. He's our personal, individual savior. Hallelujah. That came to make that atonement for us, that we can be reconciled back to the Father. Hallelujah. The Most High. I'm glad about that. Again, I'm glad. I'm just happy and I'm excited. Hallelujah. For what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's yet to do. The Messiah, yes, Yeshua. I'm talking about Jesus. You're going to hear me call out his Hebraic name. Normally in this text, when it's written Jesus Christ, you may hear me say Yeshua Messiah, but those are his names. Hallelujah, his Hebrew names. And I just want to keep them in the context where at the beginning in Exodus, we were even told not to change it. But along the way, man has come and changed it. Hallelujah. That's okay. I'm just going to honor him. Hallelujah. His name. He has a name just like you have a name. Just like I have a name. He has a name. Even God has a name. He is Elohim. Yes. Jehovah. Yes. That's who he is. And I'm so glad I know that. And I'm going to recognize his name. I don't want anybody calling me outside of my name. Do you? I don't think so. I didn't think so. But you know what? I'm just grateful. As I'm coming into the knowledge of the truth of the truth, I'm just grateful that I'm able to walk in it and learning to walk in it even the more. And I'm just happy about that. That's what the word does for us. It changes us from the inside out. And we know when the Messiah came, he came to live that example. Hallelujah. That, and he set that example for us to walk in, to pattern our lives after his. That's what he was sent to do. He was sent. The Messiah was sent into this earth. Hallelujah. To represent God the Father. Hallelujah. And he exemplified that through walking out and teaching the law, the commands that the Father had instructed him to teach. Nothing else. Hallelujah. You did have those religious rulers in there at the time trying to teach their type of laws and governance. But when Messiah came on, that's why they hated him. They wanted to get rid of him because he was teaching the commands that were written, hallelujah, that by the finger of the Most High. Yes, to Moses. Hallelujah. They were not the Mosaic laws that you hear people calling them. I've heard and I wonder, why do they call it Mosaic law? These are questions I had before the Father before I even start learning about it. They're not Moses' laws. They're the laws of the Father. But through all these theologians and all this different type of teaching, even when you go to seminary, they teach this stuff. But it's all wrong. One of my coworkers say, all wrongy. Make up a word. It's all wrong. But I'm just so glad. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing in the fact of learning his truth of the truth and sharing it. I just love him for that. Amen. With all that being said, I just want to take the time to welcome you to For Such a Time as This Ministry. My name is Theresa Cunningham. I'm grateful to Elohim, yes, who has given me the opportunity and a willingness to be obedient, to share of his goodness and his faithfulness in this space. Hallelujah. Whatever space, whatever platform that he gives any of us to share, we ought to be willing and obedient to do what he's called us to do. Amen. Amen. I believe I got some it is souls in agreement with me right now. Hallelujah. But I'm grateful. Amen. I'm grateful for the season where he has me at in my life. Amen. Yes, some things are absent. You know, I miss my husband. It's been a little over a year, but that's okay too. I'm going on with life. Hallelujah. And the Father is at the head of it, so he helps me even in those moments. I'm glad about that too. If I didn't have him on my side, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be what they say, crazy as a bed bug, but I'm thankful that he's keeping my mind, I'm choosing to keep my mind stayed on him, and he's continuously giving me his perfect peace. Even in a moment, a chaotic moment, he continues to give me his perfect peace. He'll do that for you too. Hallelujah. That's why he sent me, hallelujah, to help encourage you. I know I'm not the only one that he sent along your path to encourage you in the things of the Most High, but I thank God I'm one of them. I thank him for that. Hallelujah. So I don't want to take for granted that I get to encourage others. Not only others, but I get to encourage myself. Hallelujah. I believe that was one of David's words, maybe, that he stated, I encourage myself. Hallelujah. In Jehovah. Yes, he encouraged his own self. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. I don't know if you do this, but sometimes I look in the mirror and I encourage myself in the word. Hallelujah. Yes, we get to encourage with his truth, and his truth elevates us. Yes, it brings the very life of himself to the forefront. And I'm going to continue to say that because that's the truth. Hallelujah. I'm grateful again for that. Oh, yes. and so much going on in the world around us. We can turn on the news. We can hear conversations amongst people. And I was in different settings yesterday, heard different conversations. And you hear, hallelujah, this one young man, I was sitting beside at an event I went to where there was a memory of a life being honored. Oh, my. Just hearing and meeting the different people I didn't know that were from all over the place. Some were from, hallelujah, Texas. Some were from Maryland. They were from just different places. They weren't from North Carolina. And they were from different cities. Right now, all the different cities, I don't want to quote any wrong, but they were in different places. Some were relatives. Some were close friends. But this one young man, I think, was talking to him. I don't even remember his name, but I could see his face. Actually, I was praying for him yesterday, last evening before I laid down. His face just come across my mind. And he was talking about his daughter was in an accident and how her car hit. He said, being hard-headed. But he talked about the mercy of the Most High. He said, the Most High is real, and he still performs miracles today. He said she was hit a tree head on. He said, if you see the car, and he never did, he was going to show me the picture, but it was so much conversation going on, I guess we missed it, but it's okay too. He said the car, if you would just see the car, it was so messed up. He said he don't even know how she walked out. It said she had bleeding on the brain, but he said she's doing fine and well. He said she's nothing but a walking miracle. Hallelujah. You tell me our Father does not work miracles today, I'm going to tell you you're a liar. Oh, yes, I'm going to call you a liar because he has not changed. He still performs miracles today, even with all the wickedness and all the bad news that we see going on in this world. There's still some good news. Sometimes we as saints have gotten pulled in and we want to focus on all the negativity, all the bad news. We can't overlook it, but we just need to pray even the more. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to go into all that we're hearing and seeing. It's just so many different things, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, floods, and so much violence. So much disrespect. It's just all we see it as we walk among. But then when you see and you're in an atmosphere, hallelujah, where you see people that don't even know each other and the love just being oozing from the Father. And some of them, I know everyone in that place where I was at yesterday, hallelujah, did not know the Father. Does not know the heavenly creator. My. But they heard about him. He was talked about. He was displayed. And there was no denying that his love took over the atmosphere. See, that's what we are. That's who we are. We're kingdom citizens. Hallelujah. We've been placed on this earth that when we walk into a room, the atmosphere, if it's wicked, it should shift. Hallelujah. Just because we carry the presence of the Most High. His kingdom is in us. Yes, we are his kingdom citizens. And I just want to say, with all even that being said, as we see all this negativity, yet there's still some good news. I want to just encourage you that if there is ever a time, hallelujah, for encouragement through the word of Elohim. If there's ever a time for effectual, fervent prayer in this world, the time that we're living in, it is now. So I hope you have come with your spiritual ears open to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you and me today. Hallelujah. With your spiritual eyes open, that they would be enlightened even the more as you go forth throughout this week. Hallelujah. That you will continue, hallelujah, to be those effective kingdom citizens. That's who we're called to be. The Most High has anointed us. He's appointed us to be that. Oh, yes, effective in the kingdom for his kingdom. We're not building up our kingdom. We're building up his kingdom. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful that he's given us that opportunity each and every day. Hallelujah. I want to speak his shalom peace to you as we say a brief word of prayer. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this new day. Yes, it's brand new. It's a new day. A day that we've never seen before, we'll never see again. And we're going to rejoice in this day. Hallelujah. You made it. You didn't have to do it, but you put us up one more time to breathe your air. And I'm ever so grateful for that. When my feet, even before my feet hit the floor, I said, thank you, Father, for a new day of mercy, a new day of grace, a new day for allowing me to breathe your air. Hallelujah. Letting me move. I have the activity of my limbs. Didn't need any assistance today. Did you? Are you still able to move about? Hallelujah. Even if it is a little tweak of an ache or a pain, he still allowed your senses to be in operation. You can feel. You can touch. You can see. You can smell. Hallelujah. You can hear. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We don't take these things for granted. Hallelujah. Help us. Hallelujah. Even the more to recognize that you woke us up, yes, in our right state of mind. We didn't wake up crazy, not knowing who we were or whose we were. That's a blessing all by itself. We thank you for being our Jehovah, our supplier of all things. We thank you. Whatever it is we need, you got it. Yes, you do. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. We just thank you for giving us that grace where we get what we don't deserve today. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that mercy. Hallelujah. Of not getting what we do deserve. We thank you. Hallelujah. We just give you praise. Father, thank you. Hallelujah. For what you're going to do in this time. We just welcome your presence. Hallelujah. From beginning to end. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation in my heart, be acceptable unto you, my Father. You are my strength, and you are my Redeemer. We pray this prayer in your name, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah, the Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Saint, I'm just grateful this morning. Hallelujah, I'm humble this morning. Thanking the Most High for just another opportunity to encourage, hallelujah, in his word. Hallelujah. I was just, it's so many different things he was giving me, and I didn't know where he was going to take me. I was like, okay, Father, you're giving me all that. I don't know how all that's going to jive together. Can you just condense it down a little bit? Because I was like, that is a whole lot. And I'm just grateful. He condensed it. As I went out, I was in the prayer room in his presence, and I was just talking to him and just reflecting on the week. And yesterday was Sabbath, Shabbat, and I was just so grateful that he took me through the week and brought me down to the last day of the week. I was so grateful to him. And I was reflecting on the week, reflecting on the day, and so many different things, and so much I had heard and said and had experienced and been around. But I just wanted to be quiet. And I wanted to hear, Father, what do you want me to share with your people? I don't know what you want. And he was, like I said, giving me so much. And as I went to walk up to the kitchen, I said, Father, condense it down. It's like he immediately answered that prayer. I went to get up to walk down the hallway. I think I went to get me some water. Hallelujah. And his word is water. Hallelujah. It quenched every thirst that just came to me. He said, I heard him say it so sweet, delight. I said, All in a nutshell of what you gave me, you gave me that word, delight. I was so happy. It was like I wanted to jump out of my skin because it was so much I was hearing. And I'm not going to go into all that, but I wanted the Father. I asked him to condense it down, and he did just that. And I'm so ever so grateful. We have to be able to recognize his voice. And that comes from just spending time in his presence, spending time in his word, as we get to learn his voice and how he speaks to us. He speaks to all of us differently, but he still speaks to us. We have to know his voice for ourselves. And I know when he speaks, I hear him. I hear him with a still, small voice. Sometimes I've heard it loud when he's really trying to get my attention. But he deals with us differently. And I'm so glad about that because guess what? We're none of us are the same. Out of all the millions and billions of people in this world, none of us are the same. We don't even have the same fingerprint. Isn't that something? You tell me there is not an awesome creator, and I continue to tell you, you a lie. I'm just going to believe that until he comes back, until he sends the Messiah back for me. I'm going to believe it to the end. I can't let nothing separate me from the love and the truth of the Father. His truth is love. Yes, it is. He loves us so much. He wants us to know this truth. He wants us to walk in this truth. He wants us to live in his truth. Amen. And I'm just so grateful. With that being said, you may hear me say grateful a lot because I am. It's the truth anyhow. And I can't help. I didn't realize I said it so much, but I do. And I'm glad I do. Hallelujah. I don't want to be one who murmurs and complains. I want to be a grateful person, a grateful people. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. You are the Most High, and I want to continue to delight myself in you. My question, you know, he always has me to ask a question. Most of the time. So my question to you today is, what are you delighting in? So I want to kind of, you know, put that at the forefront because I'm sure it's going to come up in the middle and probably at the end. What are you delighting in? Has ever the Father seen fit being led by his Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I'm sure it will come up again. When we look at the word delight, and of course I pulled it up the dictionary, I can't say the word in its form. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it starts with a S-U-E, and I will probably tear it up. But looking from the Strong's Concordance and the Vine in the dictionary, the compository dictionary, looking up the word delight, it means to delight with oneself inwardly with a thing. You're delighting yourself inwardly within yourself. There's a delight to rejoice with. You can delight with someone else. Amen. You can delight in something. There's something that makes you happy. It delights you. Amen. That's just what it is. To delight with oneself inwardly, with something, with a thing. Amen. That's holding a delight. Amen. That's having a certain sort of content within oneself. And when you get to that point, when you're delighting in a thing, you know, it brings a sense of a peace, a sense of calm, you know, to you. And the path, the scripture that actually came to me, which we're probably not going to go there first, but there was a scripture that came to me, amen, because when you're delighting in something, we're taking it from the spiritual aspect. When you're delighting in something spiritually, it will cause you to change whatever you need to change on the inside that's going to reflect on the outside. Because know this walk that we have is an inward working. It starts on the inside and it works onward to the outside. It's displayed on the outside in our character, in our actions, and how we talk, how we walk, how we live, how we give. It's a inner working that displays on the outside. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. Yes, it is. Sometimes you can, I was in a service on yesterday, and it came out that sometimes you don't even, you can just look at the countenance of a person, and you don't even have to, you can just say something, and they're, the way their demeanor goes, you can say something, what's wrong, what's going on, you know, you can see what's going on by their expression. There's something that's not clicking with maybe with what you said, amen, or maybe something you did. Yeah, either way, you can see an expression from an individual, and it lets you know that something's not right. And even the pastor was saying, even when you know a person, amen, you've been around a person, and you know of them, and you spent time with them, and then that expression comes, you know, because something you may have said or did, and they act a certain, look a certain kind of way, what's that? You can ask that question, because it's true. We express ourselves with our actions, and sometimes it shows up on our face. Yes, sometimes it shows up on our face. And it's so true. That part of the message stuck with me. So much of it stuck with me. But then even when I went to the next event I went to in the celebration of life, someone was making an expression. I said, what's that about? What's going on? What's the problem? Why are you frowning? It's so funny that we, and other people see it. Sometimes we don't even recognize that's what we're doing. But sometimes, amen, and that can show, you know, what's going on the inside. Notice the inside is being displayed on the outside. Whatever's going on in our psyche, our thoughts, our mental thoughts of thinking, it's displayed on the outside. Amen. And it's just the truth anyhow. So the first passage of scripture that I want to bring out is in the book of Psalms 112. Yeah, book of Psalms 112. I wasn't even turned to the passage. I was on one of the other ones we're going to go to. It's going to be what kind of came to mind. So let's go to 112. Amen. And that first verse in Psalm 112, we know the Psalms were many mass Psalms of divisions of the Psalms. Praise ye, the first verse says, praise ye Jehovah. I'm going to say Jehovah in the place of the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth Jehovah, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And then we're going to skip on down to the seventh verse. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in Jehovah or Elohim. We trust in the Most High. So even when bad things happen, our trust is still where? In the Most High. We kind of talked about that a little bit in the introduction. I talk about that a little bit most of every week. Amen. So much is going on around us, it can easily pull us into it. But have faith, the set-apart ones, holy, set-apart, yes, believers and followers after the word, followers after the Most High. When things come up, they shouldn't shift our whole everything about us. If it shifts us for a moment, that's all it should be. It's just a quick moment. And our mind should immediately be geared back to the Father and what he said. Amen. This is part of delighting. Amen. That's what delighting is. You have to fear him. We delight greatly in his commandments. Well, what are his commandments? This is mentioned all throughout the word, commandments, Old Testament, New Testament, the commandments. That's what was talked about and discussed all throughout the New Testament. In the letters, in the right, all the writings, it was talked about the commandments. That's what the Messiah came to share with the disciples, not just the apostles who were the disciples, but the other disciples, all those who were around him and in his sphere of influence. Because there was a lot of negativity. Those religious leaders wanted him out because he came teaching. And these were writings, hallelujah, of them that the Messiah taught. They wrote the New Testament based off the Old Covenant. Yes, the commandments that Moses wrote. Those are the commandments that we are to keep. There's a two or three passages of scripture that's been pulled out and set aside to try to validate that we're no longer under the law. We do have to live by the law. That never changed. We're now under grace. Yes, we do have this grace, but the Messiah came to fulfill the law of the commandments. He didn't come to destroy the law and do away with it. He came to fulfill it. He came to share it, display it. When he was sharing, that's still what he was sharing. The commandments of his Father. And the Jewish leaders and religious leaders, they hated it with a passion. They didn't want to get with that. They wanted to continue to practice their religious traditions. And guess what? That's still happening today. When you look at the word for how it is written, when it was written, when you think about the truth of how it was given unto us, the New Testament was written, based off of the law of the old commandment, and it was recorded and written based off the example. You think about Paul. Paul wasn't even a disciple. He wrote most of the New Testament. But everything was an account on letters and what he believed. But because he was where he was at first, killing the saints, terrorizing the saints, and he thought he was doing right then, but when he had that turnaround on the road to Damascus, he met the Most High. He turned around a 90 degree turnaround. Hallelujah. And he started encouraging with the truth. But he was given an account. He was given account of what he had learned and heard about. Think about that. We have to think about the scriptures, how they were written, when they were written. When the Messiah came, he came preaching about and teaching about the law, the commandments. So that's why here, that greatly delight in his commandments. We have to delight. Blessed is the man that does that. Highly favored is the man, the woman that does that. Hallelujah. That delight themselves in his commandments. And guess what story? He took that particular passage of scripture. The man who makes it a habit of delighting in the words of the Most High, who has a heart that is fixed on that. That's where my heart is fixed at today. Hallelujah. Even as I was searching and reaching out to the Father for where he wanted me to be placed, where he wanted me to plug into that right, my husband say, plug into the right current. Because you can plug a piece of equipment into the light switch, and if the current behind the scene, the electrical wiring is not correct, it's either not going to work or it's going to spark, and it might catch on fire if the wiring behind the scene is not right. See, I wanted to be connected to the right source. for my learning on this journey. None of us have arrived. We're still ever learning. And some are ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's mentioned in scripture too. See, I want to be ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth. Don't you? Oh, yes. I want to. I have that heart and that mind to want to delight. And nobody's mad but the devil. Guess what? I'm glad he's mad. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue to give my Father some praise. I'm going to continue to elevate him, yes, and talk about him and his goodness and his faithfulness. The story, hallelujah, in talking about delighting, what the Father took me to was Job. I was like, Job? Huh? Yeah, Job. A lot of us may be familiar with his story. And when you go to Job, you remember the scripture talk, if you've heard the story, some of you may have not. It may be someone that's listening in and they haven't heard quite a bit of some of the stories maybe. I don't know. But he had three friends, you remember, and they kept going to him. First, they sat in silence with him. I'm going to kind of give a little history. And then they kind of, you know, then they start asking, what did you do wrong? What sin do you have for this to have taken on you, for you to have lost, been stricken in your body and lost everything, your wife, all your children, your wife, everything, because Job was a man who, he was described as a man who had upright. He was an upright man before the Father. You know, that was his reputation. Yeah, that was the word I'm looking for. His reputation was he was upright before the Father. Amen. He was, you know, the enemy didn't like that. So he said, he had a conversation with the Most High. Yeah, the Most High would conversate with that devil. And I'm sure he's still conversating with him. Get your hands off my child now. Yes, I'm sure he's still having those conversations, because remember, the Father doesn't change. Hallelujah. But Job was very prosperous. He was a farmer. He had a lot of land. He had a lot of livestock, sheep, camels, and all kind of things. He had a large family. Oh, yes, and many tons of servants, because he was living large, so to speak. Yes, we've heard that term before. He was a humble man. He was upright before the Father. There was nothing that they could find in him. But then when it came, his faith was tested. Who do you really believe in? You remember last week we talked about having our faith in faith? Oh, yes. Faith is going to be tested. Oh, yes, it is. It's going to be our faith. We're going to go through tests. We're going to go through trials. But how we handle while we're in those tests and those trials is the key. Amen. That is the key. But see, Job, in all of his prosperity, was still yet an humble man. And Satan went before, as an accuser of him, went before the Most High. And he said, if you take everything from him, all his wealth, all his possessions, hallelujah, if you take that from him, he will curse you. He will no longer want to deal with you, Father. And so the Father said, okay, well, let's just see about that. Let's just go ahead and remove it all. He even got stricken in his body with boils all over his body. His faith was being tested here. And he lost everything, but one thing the Father told him, you can't touch his soul. You can't touch his inner being, the inner man of him. You can't touch that. Hallelujah. And that's how sometimes when we're going through a situation, we're wondering, okay, Father, when are you going to come through? He's right there. Don't get the murmuring and complaining. That's why we have to. We must have our delight in him, in what his word says. The only way we're going to know what his word says, we're going to have to get in the book. Yes, we're going to have to meditate on that book. We'll get there in a little bit. We're still talking about Job. Oh, my. But he had those three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Well, we're going to skip on all the way down to, I'm not going all the way through. I just wanted to kind of give a little brief history of Job. Most of us know of his story, and some of us may have not heard of his story. So I kind of wanted to give a little brief introduction of who Job was. Yes, that upright man. Hallelujah. That wealthy man and upright before the Father. Amen. That's what we know about him. That was his reputation. So now we're going to go on until the 22nd chapter of Job. Now he's already been, you know, the friends have already questioned him. And this, his friend Eliphaz, if I'm saying his name correctly, it's spelled E-L-I-P-H-A-Z. We're in the 22nd chapter, and I'm not going to start at the beginning of it. This is where he always questioned Job. He was already questioning what did he do wrong. But in this past part of the passage, he went into detail. My. The first 20 verses, he was in detail of telling him, you just need to get it. You just need to find out what's going on with yourself, and you need to repent, you know. And then it gets down to the 21st verse. Amen. So let's go to the 21st verse, and I'm going back to the King James Version, 22nd chapter. Acquaint now yourself with him. This is what Eliphaz is saying to Job. Acquaint yourself. In other words, agree with him. Show yourself, you know, get in agreement with him. Quit arguing with the Father. In other words, you just argue with him. Stop it. Well, see, and I think in the 21st chapter, Job was already saying he ain't going to argue with the Father anymore. He already said, I can't do that. He has the final say with everything anyway. You know, that's his reply, because he replied to him. A lot of times he just stayed silent while they murmured. But then he did open up his mouth and say, because within himself, he was probably complaining a little bit. Why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? Can you allow me to lose everything? Can you not even put yourself in the place of him where he lost everything and then his body was stricken with this sickness? Can you imagine his body was on fire? I mean, it was on fire. And they didn't have all the things that we have today that can treat these different ailments and different things that we have going on our body, in our body. They didn't have all these different type of medications and things. So he trusted the Father throughout the process. He had his moments, I'm sure. And we can account for some of it that's written. If you go back and read it, we're just not going there today. But here Eliphaz is telling him, stop arguing with the Most High. Agree with him and you will be at peace at last. In other words, you got to be tormented with how you're looking right now. You got to be tormented. They were putting so much on him. Hallelujah. And he just wasn't, they was wrongly accusing him. And he just wasn't there. He had a totally different mindset. He was delighting. And we're going to get to that in a moment. I said, Father, I see why you brought me to this passage. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you in talking about delight. Remember, delighting is somebody making that habit. Oh, yes, of delighting in the word of the Father. Hallelujah. What his word says, regardless of what chaotic situation you may be facing right now. Hallelujah. Delight in him, saints. That's my encouragement to you, to us today. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's get back to this passage. Thereby good shall come unto you. That's the end of 21st verse. Receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth and lay up his word in your heart. In other words, he's letting them know, you done forgot what the commandments say. You done forgot the law. This is what his friend is saying to him. Sometimes don't we have people coming to us, even our friends, saying stuff and it is totally off of where you at. Amen. That's why you got to stay connected to that vine. Hallelujah. Stay connected to your source of life. Hallelujah. I don't want to say anything off the wall to someone who comes to me talking to me about something. That's why sometimes I keep my mouth shut. Yeah. We have to learn to have the hush mouth sometimes. Sometimes a person just needs to have a listening ear. And here his friends was Eliphaz for the third time in detail with his stuff. Here he is. Lay up his words in your, like Job had forgot. If thou return to the Almighty, this is the 23rd verse, thou shalt be built up. And thou shalt put away iniquity far from your tabernacle. And here he is telling you still got sin going on. Still got inwardly going on the inside of you. You need to release it. You need to give it up. That's what he keeps saying. Then shall you lay up gold as dust and gold of ochre. Oh, amen. The ochre as the stones of the brooks. Yeah. Yea, the Almighty shall be your defense. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. See, Job already had all this. So he's telling him, if you just repent, you know, you're going to get all that. You're going to get this again. If you just repent, you're going to get that. For then shalt thou have delight in the Almighty and shall lift up thy face unto Elohim. My. So he's telling him, once you repent, then you're going to have that delight. I'm sure if we have some things going on and the Father reveals to us, you know, you need to work on that. You need to get that right because he's continuously working on it. None of us have arrived. Let me remind us, none of us. He's still working on us. I know if he's still showing me stuff about me that don't line up, he's still showing you stuff about you that don't line up with him. We have to get in order. We have to get it together. Amen. Amen. It is so. But see, Job didn't have that going on. But his friend was still on. Thou shalt make your prayer unto him, and he shall hear you, and thou shalt pay your vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your way. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He was calling him not an humble person, all these things. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of your hand. He was still saying, Job, get yourself together. See, they had some truth about the ways of the Father. When Eliphaz was saying this. But he was addressing it to the wrong person, so to speak. Job already had that heart. He was already delighting in the Father. The way he broke down true repentance here, it made sense. He was just giving it out to Job, who already had this going on in him. The Father allowed this to happen. He allowed Job to go through this. And guess what? He passed the test. So here's that question again. What are you delighting in? There's so many different things we can delight in. But we're instructed to delight in this word has found. Those living holy, set apart lives. That's what we're called to do. And in honor of his command. His commandment, as we see, we read that in the Psalm. Amen. We see Eliphaz is telling Job this, to honor the commandment. Yes, this was written in the Old Testament. And we talk about the commandments was discussed in the New Testament. That's what the Messiah came sharing, the commandments. And those leaders, those religious leaders wanted to tear it down. Religious leaders are still doing it today. In the churches. They are still tearing down this truth. You don't have to honor the commandment. That's under the old covenant. We're under the blood now. Yeah, he shed his blood to cover our sins. He was the atonement, the final atonement, where now there's no blood of animals, bulls and goats and all those animal sacrifices. He was the atonement to cover our sins. But when he came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. And when he came preaching and teaching, he was preaching and teaching the commandments. And there, you know, as stated, just a couple of scriptures that's been taken, that's been, what, exegeted out of the word and taken out of the content of something, a couple of things that Paul said. But did you read the history prior up to that particular passage? That's what I love about the ministry, where I am at now. They go from verse to verse, from chapter to chapter, breaking down the word. And it is so easily to be entreated into the heart. It's right in my alley of teaching. I was like, Father, you are so on time. In my search on this new journey, I mentioned it earlier. This was part of my prayer. I wasn't hooked, been invited several different places. Couldn't get hooked up to this, that, I had to wait on my Father. And in the search of looking for something for my son who was this, and I was already teaching this, I found him. And I said yesterday, I was sitting at the table, and he came over and talked at the end of service. And I told him, I got bit. He said, you got bit? I said, yeah, I was searching for my son and just got bit. I said, I got bit with the truth of the truth. I said, my. I am just so elated in the Father. I'm grateful. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, you go to church or you go to, I say, well, it's fellowship. It's assembly. It's an assembly. It's a fellowship. That's what churches should be now called, the fellowship, the assembly, the gathering. That's what they are. But so much has been changed in Scripture. That word is used in Scripture. But I said, they said, oh, you a lot of times they think when you start to go, you must be Jehovah. I am a witness for Jehovah. I am his witness. But I'm not. I don't follow the belief that they believe. With some of what I've heard, I've never been a Jehovah Witness. But some of the things I know that they believe, some of my in-laws are in that faith or in that type of religion. The commands say to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, the Sabbath in Genesis is the seventh day. And that's the day the Father rested on after creation. What is the seventh day? It's Saturday, which was Shabbat, the Sabbath. That was changed over time, too. It used to be called the Sabbath. And it got changed to Saturday. My. So much. And some of these things I knew bits and pieces of, I get clarity. So I'm just grateful. That's the truth I'm walking in. Has nothing to do with where you are. I'm just sharing the truth that I'm walking in. Amen. And I'm grateful about it. The word is the word, and it's not going to change for any of us. Amen. We're still honoring the Father, the Most High. And in me honoring him, I want to honor him with the Sabbath and learning to keep it holy. I'm rechanging, restructuring some things, and I'm loving that part of the journey too. Amen. This is the journey we're on, saints. Hallelujah. We're learning continuously to live holy lives, set apart lives that's pleasing unto the Most High. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. And in that delighting, there's another passage of scripture. Amen. So we know Job's story. In the end, hallelujah, the Father dealt and rebuked his friends. They were rebuked. And everything was restored back to Job. He was restored. He passed that test with flying colors. Yes, he did. That's why my question to us is, when we're in the midst of these fiery furnaces, in these tests, because we're going to have them. If you're not in one right now, When you come out in victory on that, it's going to be enough. When we're in the midst of these tests, where is our delight? Where is it? So the next passage of scripture is coming out of Romans. You know that book was written. The Roman Catholics. Come on. That's why it was written to Rome. Let me get there. Normally I have my passage of scriptures marked out or separated out so I won't be flipping. And here I am flipping. It's okay. Thank you, Father. Romans, the 7th chapter. And it's that 22nd verse. For I delight in the law of Elohim after the inward man. See, we talked about this at the beginning. It's an inner working that displays itself outwardly. He's always working on us from the inside to change our character on the outside. Even when we delight in the law, which is the command of the Father. Back up to that 14th verse. And this is Paul sharing again on the accounts of the Messiah. Remember, he wasn't following right after him right there as a disciple. He was following he was a servant, just following after the law. 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Amen. In this carnalness of ours, even the 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do not. For what I hate, that do I do. Yeah, when you're in this carnal flesh, you're going to do what you hate doing because you're allowing the flesh to continue to dictate. The law is spiritual. Keeping those commandments is a spiritual thing. But today, we've gotten so far from it as confessing believers that we don't think we have to honor it. That never changed. We have to continue to honor the law, the commands of the Father. That's what the Messiah came teaching. That's what they were refuting. And it's still being refuted today. You hear messages just on grace. That's what all we have to do is, no, we still have to honor the word, the command of the Father. We can't throw away. We can't add away and we can't take it away. We can't add to and we can't take it away, take away from. The word is the word, and it's not going to change for any of us. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. See, it's the law that's going to help you. Keeping the law helps to keep us from messing up. Keeping the command of the Father, it will help us. And it's not that you're doing it out of a fear that you're afraid, but you're doing it out of a reverence for who he is and what he came to bring and how he wrote them with his finger and used Moses to inscribe them on the stones. They were written for us to continue to remember and constantly be reminded of. I didn't know I was going to back up to that passage, those passages. I was just, my main focus was that one verse. But then sometimes, like I said, you got to back it up. Throughout this whole passage of Paul talking to the Rome. He was at Rome. He was still sharing about the commandments. He was sharing, just as has Messiah shared with the disciples and the apostles that were there, this is what I'm teaching you so you can go teach others. But today and for years and even today, what's being taught is just grace. In other words, you can just continue to keep doing and living how you want to live, just quickly repent. No, no, no. If we keep a lot of these things at the forefront of our mind, it will help us from falling so much. We do have his grace. They had his grace then. Grace has always been here from the beginning. Just like the Son and the Spirit was here at the beginning. Oh, the word is so good. And I'm just enjoying learning it even the more. Walking it out even the more. Being a doer of it even the more. We have a lot of hearers today. But are we doing what the word says? Are we doing? Are we putting the word in action? Oh, help us, Father. Help us. I forgot what verse I was on. I think that might have been the 16. With that 16th verse, Paul was like, I know that the law is good, but I'm still struggling. Maybe I'm still in my flesh. I'm struggling with keeping it. In other words, we just have to do it. For I know, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Yes. See, that's it. That's what's in us, that inward iniquity. Whatever's going on inwardly that's not like the Father. We have to bring it under. 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not in our own self, not in our own flesh. Because our flesh, and I've said this many a time, won't ever get saved. We just have to bring it under subjection to the word. That's an act of our own will. That's dying to our will, living unto his, surrendering unto his. Amen. Thank you, Father. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would be good, do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Elohim after the inward man. See, we have the inward working of the Spirit helping us to bring this flesh under subjection. That we delight in that law, in the commandments of the Father. Knowing that his Holy Spirit, our inward, working with our inner man to help us, hallelujah, to walk out the holy set apart life that he's called us to do. Yes, we're not perfect, but we become perfected in our growing in him. He is perfecting us. That's why we have a perfect Savior that we can pattern after. Yeshua, Messiah. Yes, Jesus Christ. But Yeshua, I love calling him by his name, his Hebrew, his Hebraic name that was given to him even before he came on the scene. Ha! My. Before he came on the scene in the flesh. Let's put it that way. Because that's the truth. Oh, thank you, Father, for your word. But see, the other law that's in my members, what Paul said, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. See, the law of sin, we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, But once we come to the knowledge of the truth and accepted the Savior of the world as our personal Savior, things begin to shift and change. And it's all a process. But you want it to be an intentional process. Hallelujah. On purpose process. Same thing. Since we have a purpose in our life and the Father's given us that purpose, we have to make it a purpose to live the holy, set-apart life that He called us to live. And we still get to enjoy life at the same time. A lot of people think, oh, I don't want that because you can't do this, can't do that. You can still have so much fun. I have more fun being a believer than I had when I was out there in the world, doing the worldly, well, we're still in this world, but when I was of the world, doing worldly things, trying to dip in and out, halfway in and halfway out. My. When I look back on those foolish days, I'm so grateful for where the Father has brought me. You too, I'm sure. Today, where He brought us to today, we can look back on some foolish ways that we had, even when we were confessing Him as our Savior, halfway in. Woo! Thank you, Father. Oh, then there's another passage of Scripture. Just doing the Most High's will, obeying His commands and statutes bring great pleasure. That brings pleasure to me because I get to. It's what I get to do, not have to do, but I get to do it. And I love it. I delight in doing it. It's a delight. It's not meant to be this walk of faith that we walk as believers and followers of the Most High. It's not a walk that we have that, you know, everything's going to be green pastures. Or we have the green light just to have a face. He wants us to experience the good even with the, when the bitter comes. He gives us the victory. So in order to find that delight in His law and not just consent to it, but rejoice in knowing it, that's a rejoicing. See, we broke down that word delight to delight with oneself inwardly. As even Paul was talking about in Romans. Delight inwardly with oneself. To rejoice with. You can rejoice within yourself. You can rejoice with someone else. You're delighting in the fact that someone gave their life, accepted the Messiah into their heart. We rejoice with that. We rejoice when our brother and sister is rejoicing with something good that's happened in their life. Something they may have been praying for sometime, maybe for some years, and it finally came to pass. We delight in that with them. It's a form of rejoicing. But when we delight in that word, delight in the law of the word, it's having an appetite. Where we crave it. Where we thirst after it. Even as I was sharing, the Father gave me that word as I was walking down the hall. He was giving me so many on last night. He dropped that word, delight. It's a pleasure to be able to delight in Him, in His word, in His command. Oh, yes, in His commandment. That is so much more peaceful. Even when you taste something that tastes good to your taste buds, you take pleasure in that. You delight in the taste. Amen. Something sometimes you've been wanting to taste for a long time. And then when you get it, it tastes so good. I hadn't been eating any sugar, right? So yesterday, even at the Life Celebration event, they had a banana, and I don't eat bananas anymore because I eat according to my blood type. But this was a moderation thing. They had a banana cake. I said, I got to taste that. Just a corner, at least. I had my corner. And it was so delightful to my taste buds. I immediately got a quick headache, but I knew what that came from because I hadn't been eating any sugar. So I was like, woo, this tastes good. It was a delight to my taste buds. That's what the word and following after the commandment of the Father has to be to you. So here's a few more passages of scripture that's coming from the Psalm. I think we've already read Psalms. No, we didn't read. We read Psalms 112. Let's go to Psalms 1:1-2. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, there goes that word again, is in the law of Jehovah or Elohim. Ha! His delight is in the law. What is the law again? The commandments. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Isn't that awesome? We have to meditate on what his commandments tell us. That's what the Messiah came teaching, the commandments of the Father, of his Father. He kept saying, my Father, I only speak what my Father said. I came to do what my Father sent me to do. He knew what his purpose was, to do the will of his Father. That's our purpose, saints, to do the will of the Father. That's why I ask the question, what are you delighting in? Woo! Ha! My. I want to meditate in his law day and night. Don't you? I tell you, his word is nothing to play with. That's why you got to get it in. You got to hide in your heart that you won't sin against it. You got to get this word in. This is no pity patty cake game. You know, we used to play pity patty. Back in the day, we used to have these little games that you play. Pity patty. Amen. I want to go on to the third verse, because when you meditate in the law day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. In his season. There's always a season in our life. We go through different seasons, but we should always be bringing forth, hallelujah, fruit in those seasons, regardless to where they are. Amen. His leaf all shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Meditate in those commandments, saints. Huh. They are part of where we live today. I don't care what nobody says. We have grace. They had it then. We have it now. Have to pattern our lives after the command. That's what the Messiah came teaching and preaching. And those religious leaders tore it down. They're still trying to tear it down. They are lies. And the truth is not in them. Then we got that longest psalm, Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Psalms. But I'm going to bring out a few passages from it. It speaks a whole lot often in that word delight. In the law of Elohim. I will delight myself in his statutes. I will not forget your word. That's verse 16. Amen. Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. That's verse 35. My. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. Verse 47. We have to learn to love what his commandments have instructed us to do. They were given for all generations. That's why we were instructed to write them on tablets, to place them in the houses, to teach them to our children and the generation to come. That wasn't just spoken for just the old covenant time. That's for all generations to come. Ooh, the law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 72. That's more to me, the commandments of the Father being in my mouth, me living it out of out in action and deed and words and all of that, more than wealth, in other words, more than silver, more than gold. I just wanted to bring those out. I believe those who are delighting in the law of the Most High will see and continue to see his face smiling on you. Woo, my. As we're honoring his word, honoring his commandments, he's pleased with us. He's pleased with us. That gives me more to do witness, to sing to him even the more, to shout out to him even the more, to worship him even the more, to praise Allah out to him even the more. Knowing his truth is what makes us free. See, the Son has came to set man free. Yeshua, he came to set us free in every area of our life. We don't have to be bound unless we just choose to be. Unless we just choose to allow, as Paul was talking about in Romans, that inward sin still dwelling in the inside of the flesh and not allowing the Holy Spirit to take residence over that area. We have to let that mind, that new mindset that was in the Messiah, also be in us. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, or Messiah Yeshua. Hallelujah. Let that mind in him. What mind did he have? He had the mind of doing the will of his Father, teaching his commandments, doing away with these religious leaders and their laws that they were setting up in these places. That's what he came to teach. Whew. And that's not going to change. It hasn't changed. I'm glad about it. I'm not confused. Those questions I always had, I'm getting clarity now, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it every step of the way. Thank you, Father. When we delight ourselves in him, yes, there's another passage. He promised to give us what? The desires of our heart. And see, when you're delighting in him, when you're making it a habit to delight in his word, you want to understand. He said, in all you're getting to get an understanding. When you want that understanding, and that's what I was telling my son, my youngest son. I said, son, you're this way. You want understanding. I said, the Father's going to give it to you because you're not out of his will. You're seeking him for his understanding. And he's going to give it to you. You're delighting yourself and didn't even realize. Oh, man, we had that conversation maybe a week or two ago. But see, he's not even realized when I was in search for him, he honored a desire of my heart. He put me where I need to be for spiritual growth. And I'm so glad about it. Saints, I just want to continue to encourage you. Ask this question one more time as I'm encouraging you. What are you delighting in? Because there's a lot out here that we can be taking pleasure in. Are we delighting even the more in what our Father says? Are we delighting in keeping his command all the way through? Learning the more of him and what he said. I just love him so much. He's at my right hand. I love him so much. He's been faithful. As we even talked about Job and his friends that should have just kept their mouth shut as they did at the beginning. But then they just start running off at the mouth, trying to figure out what's wrong. And people still do that today. If someone's going through something, you try to put a label on it where you must need to repent. What did you do wrong? Sometimes we just gonna go through. Not anything. The Father just gave permission for the enemy to torment us in our area for a moment. It's up to us. I believe what we're going to do with it, what we're going to delight in, or who are we going to delight in that process, in that part of the process. My encouragement to you is delight. Now, I'm not saying you haven't been. And those who's listening in who haven't accepted the Messiah as their personal Savior yet, those who may be listening to the recording and you don't know him as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you, accept him. Today is the day of salvation. Accept him and go forth honoring his commandments. Delighting yourself in, hallelujah, tasting of him and seeing that he is good, even in the midst of bad, still good. So when that enemy comes in, when that devil, Satan himself, comes in to disrupt or to destroy or invade, you're going to already have your heart fixed that you're going to delight in the Father all the way through. Yes, whether you have to do it listening through tapes of the word, if it's a financial situation or if it's an attack in your body situation, words of healing, tape, those type tapes, listen to it over and over. Delight in what the word is telling you concerning those situations. It's so much out here. We can find those tapes and CDs that we can just play them over and over. And it get in our psyche, in our spirit, in our mental, in our mind. Play it over and over and over again. Turn off all the distractions, the television, the Facebook, the TikTok, the Instagram, whatever. It's something new I heard came out one day on the news. I had turned it on one morning, getting ready for work, and it's something new that they come out with another social media. My. So many distractions. Turn it off. Turn off the worldly distraction and tune into the word. That's what it's all about. That's what's going to help us for such a time as this. We need it more than ever. And that's my encouragement to you today, that you delight yourself in the word of our Father's commandments. Hallelujah. And start establishing it and doing it even the more right now. We're going to unmute the line. If anyone has a comment, a brief comment pertaining to the message, or a prayer request, I always want to end out in prayer as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, let us end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. As we're starting a brand new week, we thank you that you're going forth before us. You're preparing the way. We ask that you keep us safe in all our ways. Yes, even as we continue to delight ourselves in you and in your word, what your word says, hallelujah, we thank you that you're going to lead us into plain paths. You're going to order our steps. We thank you for that. We continue to honor you and who you are. We honor your son as you sent him to this world, which was you in the flesh, to exemplify how we are to pattern our lives after, how we are to act and carry ourselves and even talk. He wasn't understood. Sometimes we're not going to be understood, and that's okay too. We just thank you for where you placed us at for such a time as this. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives now, what you've already done, what you're doing now, and what you're yet to do. We lift up every home that's represented here, that's listening in to the recorded broadcast. We lift up every household. You know what's going on. You know what's needed. And we thank you for superseding, not just me, but superseding the need. Hallelujah. You are our Father. You said, our shepherd, and we don't have to want for anything. Those of us who trust you as that, we thank you for superseding every need. We give you praise. We give you glory. Now we ask as we go forth throughout the day, the week, that your travel of mercy will be with us, that you will go forth before us. We loose our angelic hosts to prepare the way for us, to cover us. Even the grounds are in our communities. We ask that the angelic hosts stand ground and cover and keep us safe. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you all the honor. And it's in the name of your son, Yeshua Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. And to you be all glory, Father. I speak of shalom, 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 his peace. Go forth in that. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Ha!